And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hola! Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. I don't know what accent this is, so I'm going to stop. In this episode, Anakin and Obi-Wan are sent to track down the mysterious figure behind the deaths of several Jedi, soon find themselves on the trail of a monstrous apprentice that Ventress has created, Savage Opress. There'll be a crap ton of Force lightning, the return of the battle droids, and King Ramen eating his last tasty bowl. We're talking about Witches of the Mist this week. How are you doing, Chris?
Good. I hated to see King Ramen go, to tell you the truth. I kind of like the guy.
I kind of like the guy, too. And I don't get to make any more, like, Takansu Ramen jokes. But it's okay. I'm eating dim sum tomorrow, so I'll feel better. That has nothing to do with anything else. And I'm going to a Korean bakery. And I'm going to a French bakery run by Koreans. I'm super excited. And I'm going to a world market. Yeah, I'm going to Tijuana Beacon tomorrow, but the con's not actually tomorrow. But we're going to head up this, like, one strip of road called Buford Highway in Atlanta. And it's just nothing but, like, delicious ethnic places and, like, a world food market, like, farmer's market. So I'm like, yes. I only eat dim sum, like, I haven't had it in years, so we're going to get dim sum. Then we're going to go to a Korean bakery. And then we're going to go to a French bakery with Koreans that are owned by Koreans. And then we're going to go to the farmer's market. Super excited.
Next month, I'm getting a little food adventure. I'm going on a road trip to a town near here called Ithaca, and they have lots of good food in Ithaca. And I know at least one of the people I'm traveling in is a fan of delicious food, so I know I'm going to get to eat in a delicious restaurant next month. I'm really looking forward to that.
I don't ever get to eat out either, so I'm just, like, super duper excited.
I'm just happy. I don't get to eat out. I get to eat out in Rochester fairly regularly, but I'm not sick of the places here, but I'm looking for... Ithaca is known for good hippie food. Like I'm not a vegetarian, but if, like, the best, the most famous vegetarian restaurant, like, that printed the first really big vegetarian cookbook is still there. And I'm not opposed to eating vegetarian food when you have a good cook who cooks that stuff. I used to work for a woman who did. It's fantastic. So I might end up in some place like that. I know the person we're traveling with is a meat eater too, but he's a healthy eater. So either way, I'm going to end up with something really delicious in my belly.
I'm so excited for both of us and our food adventures. We could talk about it on Eat It and Beat It.
Speaking of food adventures, I talked to Daria last night, and there's more candy on the way for us, Hope. More candy.
What? Oh my gosh, we're not even through this batch.
I know.
Oh my god. Okay, we'll get it done. We might need to start reviewing, like, five at a time.
Someday we might have to do a show that's all candy reviews, just a candy catch-up. By the end of it, we'll be so sugar-crazed, we'll just be babbling. We'll be like little kids on Easter morning.
We could do it in a way that, like, what Star Wars character does the candy remind us of?
If we, when we do it, we should do it for Halloween. That's when we should do it. Like, our show immediately after Halloween should be our candy cleanup episode.
Oh my god, we would be dead. Like, we would end the episode, like, in sugar comas.
That's how you're supposed to be the day after Halloween. November 1st.
No, that is the other best holiday, getting actual candy. That's, like, 60% off. And Easter, and that other holiday. What's that other holiday? Christmas! And Valentine's Day. That is the best holiday, is the day after the holidays and getting all the cheap candy.
There's some cheap Easter candy coming up pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Peeps are better in different countries.
That I could pass on. I've never been a fan of Peeps.
I used to like Peeps when I'm a kid. I can only eat one of them at a time now. I used to be able to eat just like pack after pack of Peeps as a kid, but now they're too, they're just sugar.
Yeah,
sugar on top of sugar.
Like, I can't even get through like a pack of Peeps. I'm just like, oh god, there's so much. Oh no, I messed up my nails. Oh well. Anyway, I was telling Chris beforehand that I'm going to do on BCom, but I'm going to be actually doing professional work while I'm there. So I'm just like, I better at least paint my nails so I look somewhat professional. Somewhat.
That's the spirit.
Yeah, I'm going to at least try to be a woman for once in my life. Let's try it. You know, oh, well,
Jesus, Hope, can't you at least try to be a woman?
I'm sorry. I'd rather
put a little effort into it.
I'm sorry. Did you say, let's bring Dario into this? What? What did you say?
I said, could you put at least a little effort into it?
I guess so.
Bring Dario into it. He's got some good dresses. Straighten you right out.
I don't think I could ever be straightened at this point. I'm pretty not very straight at
pretty
all.
Pretty bent.
I'm kind of curvy. You know, I still like guys. I mean, I like the guys, but if the right girl came along, I wouldn't say no. I've dated both sides before, so it'll be fine. All right, well, now that we talked about everything.
There we go.
I just realized something. Not this weekend, but next weekend's Celebration.
Yep. Ooh. And while Celebration is happening, a bunch of freaks are meeting up down in Florida.
Yeah, you assholes.
Yeah.
I almost went, but with 221 BCon this weekend, I couldn't do two cons in a row. And all three of my best friends are going to be at 221 BCon, and I would be by myself. I wouldn't be by myself. I'd be with the other two true freaks, but I wouldn't be with my three best friends never are ever in the same place together. And probably the next time they'll be together will probably be the next 221 BCon or my wedding, whenever that happens to be. So, yeah.
Yeah, I really would have liked to have made it down there. I would have met Michael. I still haven't met Michael Bailey. I would have been able to meet Michael Bailey, but
Michael Bailey is the best.
I cannot afford a trip to Florida. I got a new computer on the horizon that I've got to save up for. And Rochester's biggest garage sale is happening in 3 weeks.
You know, I usually don't do this sort of thing for our show, but if you go to the Two True Freaks Facebook page and you look under Jay Guys and Jedi, there is a link to the Jay Guys and Jedi store, where you can buy a bunch of, like, really cool stuff. I'm currently looking at my teddy bear that has a Jay Guys and Jedi shirt on it. And you can pretty much put our logo on anything you want. So that would be kind of cool because that goes to us and it will help Chris buy a new computer. So if you want to keep putting out cool podcasts, and I promise that I did not plan this ahead of time with Chris. I just sort of came to my brain.
It'll help. It'll help. But, the hours of overtime at work are going to help a lot more. I have to sell a lot of stuffed bears to buy my computer, but hey, I'll take anything we can get.
There's also shirts and tumblers and all sorts of things and coffee cups and hats and satchels and tote bags and anything you can think of. You can stick a Jay Guys and Jedi logo on it.
Thongs.
So, yeah, check that out. And I promise you I didn't set that up on purpose. I just
be really classy and get the Jay Guys and Jedi thong.
There's a thong.
I know that Cafe Press does have thongs. So
Do you guys have an Eat It and Beat It thong?
We should.
That
hasn't happened yet. But that should, that's pretty classy, Cope. I like that. I'm going to have to talk to Dario about that little marketing plan. I like that.
I'm going to apologize, guys, also, if you keep hearing my phone go off, because, A, the other two True Freaks are talking on the host Facebook group, but we have some bad storms rolling through, like possible tornado storms, so I'm keeping my phone on me in case it's like, oh, hey, I need to leave this podcast, Chris, and go downstairs to my basement. So,
I apologize. Leave the recorder running if you do that.
Okay, I'll probably be booking it, so probably you'll get to hear maybe a tornado, so, but it's pretty chill right now. The next wave of storms aren't coming in for another hour-ish, so, yeah. All right, well, let's get started. Ready?
I'm ready.
All right. What episode are we talking about? Witches of the Mist. Okay. I kind of forgot. Witches of the Mist is the 58th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on January 1st, 2011. It was written by Katie Lucas and directed by one Carlo Volpe. Some extra information for you. The spar between Dooku and Oppress ends with Dooku looming over his apprentice, positioning his two lightsabers at Oppress's throat in a scissor-like formation. Dooku meets his demise in an identical fashion in Revenge of the Sith. Delta Squad, having debuted in the Star Wars Republic Commandos, appeared in this episode, making it the first appearance of the Republic Commandos in the series. However, the game's voice actor Boss, who is Tamara Morrison, Jango Fett's voice actor, did not return for the brief exchange of dialogue. Instead, Boss is voiced by Dee Bradley Baker, who supplies the voices for all the clones in the series. And to talk more about the Republic Commandos, in the episode featurette, Dave Filoni said, "In Witches of the Mist, I had the opportunity to do something I've wanted to do for a very long time. That was to bring the Republic Commandos into the Clone Wars TV series. I played the Republic Commandos when it came out. I really loved that game. The cinematics in that game really influenced me in what the Clone Wars could be. I had this great look at a war at the world from the troopers' point of view. When we originally shot this episode, the group of clones that brought back the bodies of the two dead Jedi were not the Republic Commandos. It occurred to me that it would be really cool if there was these commandos that were bringing back the bodies of these Jedi. So I felt very strongly that the fans deserved it. I wanted to put the commandos in for a while, and here was the opportunity. It was a really great thing that the crew did here, because the commandos weren't in the initial design build. There's a limit to any one thing that we can make in the course of an episode. It just so happens that in Witches of the Mist, we had these two previous episodes with character builds that it wasn't as heavy as a normal episode would normally be. Really late in the game, I said we really need these Republic Commandos. The crew, as always, responded brilliantly. We had the designs done in a matter of days. Of course, they were already designed from the game, which made it easy for us. We had these maquettes that really gave us a great guide. I talked to some of the guys who made the Republic Commandos games, who was still part of LucasArts. They had this idea of what if they arrived in the rain. That would be great, but rain, water, and Clone Wars really hasn't been the best of friends over the years. The crew is just really breaking new grounds constantly with effects in the series. When that shuttle door opens and water is dripping off it in the rain, it just sets the perfect mood for the sequence. Judging from the fans' reaction at Celebration 5, they really appreciated it."
I thought the rain looked good in that.
Yeah, I had a note about that too. And I like that their visors are all lit up too. They almost look kind of like aliens coming out of the ship.
Yeah.
Like, that was such a great image.
I totally miss that. I never played that game, so I was just like, this little different stormtrooper or clone trooper design, and that was about it. It was completely lost on me.
Yeah, the only commando that, like, I really knew off the top of my head is in the 100th episode, we have a guy named Gregor, who then makes it to Rebels. But he was a commando, too, so we get to see the commandos again, at least. We get to see his armor for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. I was just like, oh, that's Gregor's thing. Yay, Gregor. So, you know who also says yay for Gregor's?
I was just going to say, you know who else likes to show off their armor?
You know who likes to show up in the rain, wet and dripping with the water rolling off them?
It says on Yoda's Tinder account, likes long walks in rain.
And staring at windows with women on the other side of the building.
Long walks in rain, staring at you while you're asleep.
And petting your hair and licking your feet.
Just smelling while you're asleep. Smells good. Smells good.
Ugh, I don't like it. This one, I like and dislike again.
The path to evil may bring great power, but not loyalty. In bed.
It doesn't make sense, but I guess it's good advice if it's true.
I guess it kind of makes sense for the episode.
I guess somebody evil could be great in bed, but not loyal to you. Is that what it's saying?
It's like, aren't these supposed to be morals? If these are morals and they're supposed to be like good Jedi morals, why would anybody be like on the path to evil? Like, that just doesn't make sense. Like, aren't these more... They're morals. They're not, like, guidelines of the Sith. That's my only thing about this one, is that Jawa's just like, this is more like a Sith moral than opposed to, like, a Jedi good guy moral for the week.
Well, it sort of fits in. We're sort of hanging out at the dark side for this arc.
The dark side cantina.
Yeah, definitely.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, my gosh. So, I kind of fell in love with this one, like, thing on Pandora, and it's because you know how Pandora, you can put in artists and I'll play music like that. It's for DJ T-Rock and Squashy Nice, and I kind of fell in love with that station. But there's this one song, and it's by a band called Ratman, and they have this one song, and all it is the Star Wars Cantina like remixed for like 7 minutes. I can only last about the first three, and then I'm just like, okay, I have to skip this song. But it's fun, because you see the like, customers in my store, and they're like, is this the Star Wars Cantina? And they kind of like look around for a minute, and then it just keeps going for another like 7 minutes.
But, it's funny, we listen to Pandora and we listen at work, and a lot of people put it on rap stations, and it's really amazing sometimes how many, like, I've heard John Williams soundtracks sampled, old horror movie sound, you know, I'll be listening to it, I'm like, this is an Italian giallo soundtrack movie being sampled in the background, you know? It's like stuff that I use in the background of podcasts all the time. And I'm like, why does that sound familiar? Oh, my God, that's you know, from Suspiria or something like that.
Yeah. The other band I've kind of fallen in love with is a band called Black Violins. And it's these two guys, and they remix classical songs, but with, like, hip-hop beats. And their song Brandenburg is my favorite. Because they remix, I think it's Box Brandenburg.
Brandenburg Concerto.
Yeah, but I've kind of fallen in love with them too. And they have like original stuff too, but I really like their remixes of like classical music with like contemporary hip hop beats. That's kind of become my new kind of favorite thing to listen to.
The modern version of Hooked on Classics that did classics with disco beats.
I thought you were about to say Hooked on Phonics. So I was like, the hip hop version.
No, this
of
was before. I think this was before
Hooked
on Phonics. I think Hooked on Phonics stole their name from Hooked on Classics. It was a big hit. Like everybody had a Hooked on Classics album. There were like four of them. I don't know. My grandfather had all the Hooked on Classics albums. They used to play them on the radio all the time. I swear, it's a real thing.
It kind of reminds me of the Punk Go series, where it's a bunch of punk bands remixing like pop songs or classics or oldies or. Yeah. Anyway, we should keep tangenting.
Yeah, but the storms are coming, Hope.
I'm sorry. All right, Act 1?
Act 1.
All right, Act 1. Following Savage Opress's total domination at the Jedi Temple last week, and him killing Master Halsey and his Padawan Nox, the Jedi are like, something is rotten in the state of Denmark. The Republic commandos arrive at the bodies of the fallen Jedi. The Jedi are like, only Ventress and Grievous has killed the Jedi like this. This is a new thing somewhere out there over the rainbow. Plo Koon suspects that it's a Sith Lord, but Obi-Wan is like, but the Sith Lords do pretty killings. This is super gross and messy. That's not very Sith-like. They prefer to keep their manicures in place. That's kind of funny because I'm actually doing my nails right now. I did not plan for that. Anyway, back in his crib, Dooku is training his new pet, Savage.
See, now Savage, I'm picturing you with your hand in front of you, like, held up while you're saying this, like you're gossiping.
I am. I'm actually shaking my hand right now trying to dry my nails. I have one hand that I'm doing at a time so the other hand can scroll. back in his crib, Dooku is training his new pet, Savage. Savage has his own lightsaber now, and he holds it like a kid playing T-ball in the Little Leagues because he's all choked up on the saber. Savage isn't doing very great tumbling around Dooku's place. Dooku is whipping out his quotes from Toy Story yelling, "You uncultured swine!" and promptly kicks his ass. At the Jedi Temple, Yoda and Wet Blanket Windu shows up. Yoda and Wet Blanket Windu shows Obi-Wan surveillance footage of the attack on the Jedi Temple. Obi-Wan sees who the attacker is And he's all like, the hell? It's Darth Maul! I've killed Darth Maul myself. Who would ever think that you could come back into this series and stay until season 3 of Star Wars Rebels by after getting cut in half? It is not possible. And somewhere off in the distance, you can hear Dave Filoni laughing at the scene. Anyway, Yoda is like, Righto, it's not Darth Maul. Tell him what he has won. And Web Lincoln Windu is like, congrats, you won an all-expense-paid trip to Dathomir to find this guy. Take a friend. You're gonna need it. Then, there was more training scenes with Dooku and Savage. Savage just tries to lift some pillars with the Force, but then drops them and says, it's impossible. Oh, I forgot that I put this part in. Dooku brushes off his 1997 soundtrack of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, starring Brandy and Whitney Houston, and he sings, impossible for a plain country bumpkin and a prince to fall in marriage. Impossible. Okay, I'm just kidding, but you can't totally deny that Dooku probably secretly loves musicals. What did I write this last night? Dooku Force Lightning shocks Savage until the guy gets pissed off enough and he lifts up the pillars, so it's not impossible. Good job, Savage. You win the gold star of the Sith on your daily report card. What did I write?
Wow. It's good to see Sith training. You know, it's like it's done with pain and negative reinforcement, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely negative.
I like Dooku's playground there. It reminds me of like the World's Fairground in Queens. He's got some space in his digs. I'm assuming that's like the Separatist Capitol building or something, you know,
I think it is. I think his actual palace is in the Separatist Capitol.
Right.
You know, I was thinking about it too, because why I was making a joke, because like, you know, Dooku was a Jedi Master before, so he's probably raised in the Jedi Temple, and I feel like once he became a Sith, like, he just fell in love with all these fancy things. He was just like, oh my god, caviar! And I can listen to musicals and love them!
Well,
yay!
You know what else I've noticed about Dooku, and this is just another thing I picked up from his digs and his... It's empty. It's just Dooku in this huge empty place and empty area. There's no, you don't see any like separatist tanks protecting him off on the edges of it's just a big empty space. There's no people walking around doing business or anything.
Huh.
And he had no droids sort of puttering around his place. He's just got like, it's like almost like his little fortress of solitude or something, you know?
I wonder if that's kind of like a callback to his Jedi training then, because, you know, like Jedi's don't have a lot of possessions and stuff.
He might be just like an extremely, maybe he really likes solitude, you know? Maybe he just hates people and doesn't want anybody around, so... His palace is just him, you know. They see, because you know whenever you see anything in Star Wars, especially after the prequels, there's you know servant droids hovering around, and you know someone bringing his dinner, and Count Dooku, you have a call from you know Lord Sidious or whatever, you know. So it's weird. He's almost got like this sort of big empty place to himself. I think that's kind of neat. And
yeah,
what's with Obi-Wan just looking through coffins? He just
say
looks
what?
Down at the coffin. He's just like, this isn't the work of, you know, a Sith. This is an animal or something. It's like, that's just a closed coffin, man.
That's true.
That's kind of the conversation you have in the Jedi, you know, morgue, some, you know, in the CSI version of Clone Wars CSI, where you're like, you pull off the space shroud and go just like, oh, jeez. Yeah,
that's true, because then, like, Yoda and Wet Blanket show him the footage, so he actually didn't know.
Right, he just was looking at two closed caskets. It's not like you just like, hey, let's pop these things open right here and take a look. Whoa, yep, that's not a Sith. So that was a little... It was just to move the story along, I'm sure.
Yeah, and you can't have, like, dead, like, gruesome dead bodies on that kid's show. But you can kill the dead bodies.
Yes. My only other note was I really liked the ship they took to Dathomir. And once again, it was a ship pulling into Dathomir with big red wings.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we're getting, you know, a story with Obi-Wan and Anakin. You know, it's like feels like oh, you know, you kind of forget, and then it's like, all right, this is some nice familiar ground. Yeah, I'd like to see these characters again, you know?
You know, I was talking about that. I think I put it in my Act 2 notes, and I mentioned that I kind of wish Ahsoka went with them on this mission, but then at the same time, I realized...
We've had a lot of Ahsoka lately.
Yeah, why I wanted her to go along is I just missed the trio. We haven't had a lot of the trio recently. But then I started thinking about it more, and next week is the beginning of the Mortis arc, so we're about to get the trio for 3 episodes.
Right, right. And good to see the bros back together, you know, dude?
And then also, last week, Savage killed a Padawan, so I'm pretty sure they were like, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, And, you know, you probably might not want, you know, the Night Sisters to get a chance to get a hold of Ahsoka either. They might be like, ooh, hi. Ever thought of a job in Night Sistering? So yeah.
That's very true. Come Snooky with us.
Yeah. Gotta replace those Night Sisters somehow.
Anyway, so my notes. I already mentioned my little notes about how cool the rain look in the Republic Commandos. I don't know if you caught it, but right before Obi-Wan walked in with Yoda and Wet Blanket Windu, there was a very brief clip of Coruscant, and it's still smoking from the attack on heroes on both sides. So I thought that was really cool they kept that in the chronological order.
And it probably saved them some money. It was probably just a shot from the background from another, you know, they could probably just grab a smoke plume from a couple episodes ago and pop it in there.
Yeah, because like when I did, I ended up going back and checking about it. Because Heroes on Both Sides is literally like 4 episodes before this. It's Heroes on Both Sides, Sin of Murders, and then this Night Sister trilogy. So Coruscant is still recovering from the attack. So I thought that was like a really cool thing that they kept in, because I was just like, whoa, is it still smoking? And I checked, I was like, yeah, that's so cool that like they're still recovering from that. That's really cool. So that was just a little detail I liked. Hey, Wet Blanket. It's been a while since we've seen you, and you're just as wet and blankety as I remember you.
Oh, yeah.
So it was nice seeing the Wet Blanket again. There's a lot of, like, nice callbacks. Like, we had Audie Gallia and Plo Koon and Yoda and stuff. So there's a lot of, like, kind of revisiting.
It was interesting because the last 2 episodes have taken us far away from that stuff. And now all of a sudden we're back sort of with... Like, and it's been a while since we've sort of had Anakin and Obi-Wan and the Jedi Order hanging, you know, just that sort of standard cast and crew of Clone Wars. So now all of a sudden they're stuck into this, you know, mysterious fantasy story. So it's not really jarring, but it's a little strange because you're combining those 2 elements.
And it's going to get super combined for the next 3 episodes when we go to Mortis. Super duper duper combined when we have the Mortis trilogy, which I'm both excited and not excited for.
I totally don't remember it, so that might be about where we stopped covering it, so I might have stopped watching it at that point. So yeah, that might be new to me because I don't remember dragons at all. So I'm kind of looking forward to it for that reason.
I say dragons, they're not really dragons, but they remind me of dragons. Yeah. So they're not really dragons, but anyway. My only big question I have for this act, until this episode, I was under the impression that Savage Opress was not Force sensitive. And then we see him learning how to use the Force, and he lifted up the pillar things. So my question is, since the Force runs through all things, can anyone technically, with enough hard work and dedication, learn how to use the Force? Like, I get that the Jedi are more Force-sensitive, so it probably comes easier for them, but if the Force runs through everything and everyone, can Joe Schmo, owning a diner, learn how to use the Force if he, like, puts enough work into it?
I think he probably could to an extent.
Because we also have, like, characters like Trirrit in Rogue One, who may not be Force-sensitive, but, you know, the Force was definitely on Trirrit's side.
Right, right. I got the impression that when they gave Savage's hocus pocus steroid treatment, I got the impression that he got some Force sensitivity at that point.
Okay.
And probably maybe they did the same thing to Maul, you know, at some point. These guys, They you know, maybe they might have a little innate force sensitivity in their, you know, in their species that the Night Sisters can expand, or maybe they draw it out of that big cauldron, you know, and put it inside of him, and that's what you know, sort of like the dark side eating up and withering away Palpatine. In this case, it sort of blows him up into a, you know, steroid mess.
Yeah.
Type of guy, into a roid rage, a force roid rage situation. But I got the impression that he didn't really have force powers until they blew him up, and they blew him up with the dark side too, which pretty much decimated. It's almost like a statement on steroids. It's like, okay, you can take somebody and fill them full of the dark side juice and make them into this impressive creature, but it's not, you know, it hasn't been learned by natural means, so there's, like, immediate physical consequences to it, where
yeah.
You become sort of a mindless rage monster.
See, I was under more in the impression that Maul was probably Force-sensitive, and that's why he was, like, such a good warrior and kind of why he lived forever until mm-hmm. Rebels. But I never got the impression that Savage was Force-sensitive, so I kind of, like, the idea that with enough training, like, anyone could actually learn how to use the Force, which would really explain Shuret in Rogue One. Like, he clearly wasn't a Jedi, but the Force was, like, totally, like, on his side where it needed to be. So, like, that's how I kind of saw it.
And he was older, too. So, he, you know, it might have taken him his whole life to get to a point that, you know, that the tiniest Jedi Padawan would be at, you know?
Yeah. And that's why I was saying, like, if the Force does run through anyone, like, I would argue that anybody has the potential to learn that. But, like, in the case of Shuret, he might have had to spend his entire life doing that.
Right. Well, it's like, you know, anyone could learn to play basketball, but some people are born with, you know, a body that is conducive to playing basketball or swimming or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's certain, like, they're like sports. There's certain body types to every sport. You know, wrestling guys are short and stocky and stuff like that. So it might be the same with the Force. It might be that there are, you know, certain, and there, maybe there's certain races that, like, the Force works in them in different ways. Like, some of them are more precognitive, and some of them have more of a power to move things and psychokinetically manipulate it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say something else. Oh, total side note, but it came out today, actually. They're doing a Rogue One comic adaptation. When they did one for The Force Awakens, and it's pretty much a comic form of the movie, like, panel by panel, and the art is really nice. But something that they did differently is in the Rogue One adaptations, they have scenes that weren't in the movie, which I thought was really cool, because that's why I kind of stopped buying The Force Awakens ones, because I was like, oh, it's just the movie, panel by panel, and the art's really nice, because it's Phil Noto, and I love him. But I think it's Phil Noto. I may have to double check that.
That's sort of the tradition of Marvel adaptations of the movies, though. It's very. I got the first issue. I only saw the first issue of it, but it was very in line with other adaptations of Star Wars. Sometimes they end up in, especially like in the Star Wars adaptation, because the movie wasn't even out when they were working on it. And, like, in Empire Strikes Back, you had a different... Yoda looked way different because they didn't have a really accurate character picture of him to do it. But they would usually do a pretty straight-up adaptation of the movie. So that's what I was expecting. But that's cool if Rogue One's throwing stuff in. That's awesome.
And I would totally check it right now if I didn't have wet nails. But the thing is, I haven't bought the comic yet. I just checked it out from my store. So I don't want to mess it up. I haven't bought it, and I probably won't buy it, but I still want to read it, because we can check out comics from our store to read and not buy, because we work there, and so I don't want to threaten getting fingernail polish on it, because then I would have to buy it.
You broke it, you bought it.
I'd be like, damn it, I've done that before. There was one time I accidentally spilled water on a comic, and I had to bring it back, and I was like, I didn't even want to buy it. Ugh. I was really upset, and then I just threw it at my recycling bin.
Oh.
Anyway, Act 2?
Act 2.
Alright, Act 2. Anakin and Obi-Wan arrive on Dathomir at Savage's old hometown. The Knight brothers aren't very welcoming, and they attack the Jedi. Obi-Wan and Anakin are super careful not to harm the men. Anakin captures the Knight brother leader, Brother Viscus, and calls off the other warriors. Viscus tells them to check with Mother Talzin. So the Jedi leave and traffic lot cross the planet. Anakin is like, warrior men and witches, this planet is pretty bitchin'. Dooku decides to send Savage on a mission. He wants Savage to go to Toydaria and bring him King Katunku Ramen back alive. So you know this isn't going to end well for King Ramen. The Jedi arrive. If you're wondering why we call him King Ramen and this is the first time you're listening to us, listen to the episode Supply Lines. That's why. The Jedi arrive at the Night Sisters' village and Anakin is like, good thing I'm great with the ladies. And the Night Sisters surround them and they're like, ew, boys, you're our prisoners now. They take them to Mother Talzin, who is like, yo, what's up, bros? Welcome to my digs. What can I do for you? And they ask about the Dathomirian male killing Jedi. And Mother Talzin is like, we're just weak ladies in exile. Big, strong males are so strong, and they're too strong for us pitiful ladies to control. And that was fun because I'm actually fanning myself right now. Obi-Wan calls bullshit, knowing that women rule the planet. Still, Mother Talzin plays it off like she doesn't know anything, but she does use her crystal ball to find that Savage is on Toydaria. The Jedi race out of there and head for Toydaria. Mother Talzin pulls Ventress to the side and is like, with the Jedi involved, you might want to get your plan put into motion and go kill Dooku. Like now. Like you should go. Like get going. And Ventress is like, but Savage needs way more training. Nonsense, Mother Talzin exclaims. You don't really have much of a choice anymore. Go! And Ventress is like, I don't think this is a good idea. Rumor has it that Luke Dooku lives to something called Episode 3. I don't know what that is, but whatever, I'm off. And she leaves. Poor Toydarian guards. They don't stand a chance when Savage arrives. He cuts his way in and murders anyone in his way. Like a dumb guy, King Ramen is still on his throne and Savage arrives. He tries to be tough, saying he won't be intimidated, and he pulls out a scimitar. Poor King Ramen. You should have ran and hid. Brave Sir Ramen, you should have ran and hid. Sorry, had a Monty Python moment. The Jedi arrive on Toydaria and rush in to find a bunch of dead guys, and Savage oppressed with the unconscious king over his shoulder. They engage Savage in an awesome fight on the Toydarian floating platform things. King Ramen wakes up and tries to fly away, and Savage catches the king in a forced choke and breaks his neck. Rest in peace, King Ramen. May you have all the soup in the afterlife. Savage throws Obi-Wan and Anakin off of him and snatches up the dead king. Fleeing to his ship, Savage pulls out one extra dick move and force shoves the Jedi ship off the platform. Obi-Wan and Anakin hurry out to find their ship is wrecked, and they have to borrow one from the Toydarians that are still alive.
Quote unquote, borrow.
Actually, I have a note about that. Since we're kind of there, can I go ahead and read my note?
Sure.
Okay, let me scroll down to it. There are really two smart people in this episode. When Obi-Wan says that they will borrow a ship from the Toydarians, in the background, you can see two guards chilling out there on the platform. And sure, their king was just killed, and the murderer just ran and escaped with the king's body. But did they try to stop Savage? No, they just stood there, and they get to go home to their wife and kids that night. So those Toydarian guards are the smartest people in this episode.
They were on their union cigarette break right at that point.
Yeah.
So, they did not seem too alarmed that, like, yeah, there had just been an assassination of their world's leader.
And they're just, like when they went running towards the ship, I was like, hey, those are two Toydarian guards. They're alive. Good job. So, what did you think of Act 2?
Did you know, I think the character animation, especially since we've gotten to this point and it's been going up and up and up, on Obi-Wan and Anakin is kind of stiff on their bodies and in their faces. It kind of is back like two seasons ago. But Dooku and Oppressed Savage look good. Everybody else looks good. And it makes me wonder if there was some... Maybe it had to do with adding the troopers at the last minute, or there was some tinkering where they were like, eh, let's have... Or maybe there was another character in here. Maybe Ahsoka went with them or something, and they had to redo this or something. But the a lot of the animation of Obi-Wan and Anakin seemed like maybe rushed, you know, like it didn't get the finishing work that a lot of the other stuff did. When they were doing something important, it looked good. When they're, you know, any kind of fighting or running and jumping looked good. But when they were just sort of walking and talking, it had that very stiff puppety feel that was especially prevalent, like in the movie in the first season.
I wonder
if there was some sort of production thing going on with that.
I didn't notice, but I did a few episodes back. I think it was Heroes on Both Sides. They talked about how in season 3 they were introducing new design elements for everybody, and Anakin and Obi-Wan have their new design elements. They're not wearing the armor pieces that they had in season 1 and season 2. So I know this is their new design, but maybe it's not fully fleshed out because they had to add some stuff, so maybe they couldn't get all the details down.
It was just like their characters, especially. Or I don't know if there's different people who work on different characters, and maybe that person was hung over that week or something, you know. Or who knows? It could have been a lot of factors, but it just seemed a little off, little bit off to me. Lots of nice Star Wars-y wipes and transitions in this one. Love when that, you know, throwing those in are just little touches, but they add so much to the feel of Star Wars, and they add so much to the visual momentum of driving the story forward. So I always love seeing a wipe to a ship flying into a planet. It makes, just to me, that sort of introductory scene that much more exciting. And I like how they're setting up Oppress as being sort of like the Manchurian apprentice with Dooku.
I didn't talk about Oppress's character in any of my notes, but
there's not much to him.
But the thing is, I feel like he was the only person, because this is very much like action the whole way through.
Yeah.
He's the only person that has like any character arc in this, because he ends up, you know, we're not in Act 3 yet, but he ends up turning his back on both Dooku and Ventress.
I mean, this whole part is literally people just running from one place to another.
But I mean, I did like that we got a little bit of a Savage character arc, even though there's really not much to him, because, like I said last week, the moment he becomes Frankenstein's monster, he's really boring.
Yeah, he's done, yeah.
But,
and they can't even have that redemption moment where his friend is still alive and is, like, pleased to the, you know, at the last moment to the actual Savage inside of him and makes him pause for a second. That guy's gone.
I kind of wish, like, when, like, Ventress took him out of mind control, he blinked and he was like, "You made me kill my brother!"
Yeah, I don't like you either.
You just like ran and then just been like, "Well, fuck." Hey, Dooku, we'll do this another time. Bye. Did you add anything else for Act 2?
No, that's all I think I got.
All right, so a couple of my shallow notes. King of Toydaria, the moment that you heard someone was invading, why didn't you go to a safe room and not just sit on your throne?
That's exactly what I thought. You're a Toydarian. You're not a tough guy. You're limited tough guy. Or, you know, why... If you're a Toydarian, have way more... He had really poor security. It was only other Toydarians. There were no booby traps, or... I would at least have some big-ass droids or something, you know?
And his throne room is connected to the ship docks.
Right, yeah. You could just run right off the dock into the throne, and everybody's just hanging out there.
I know. At least, like, if it was in the middle of the palace, like, Savage would have to run around and look for the throne room and stuff.
Go through several layers of security instead of just through a door. I mean, there were security guards at the door, but you just fling them out of the air when you're a Jedi or a Sith.
Yeah. Like, the moment they were like, "Sir, intruder, there's an intruder at the door. You need to go to your safe room." Don't just stand there.
It would have been interesting, though, since mind tricks didn't work on Toydarians, it would have been interesting if, like, force chokes and stuff didn't work on them, too, you know? That would have been a neat little twist.
That's true. Considering my talk from last week about wanting to know more about Dathomir society, how they breed and what the men's life is like and all that, Brother Viscus tells the Jedi that one of the women took Savage as their mate, and we know that he was taken to be a servant to Ventress. But then I'm wondering, are mate and servant the same thing in their culture?
Or maybe, well, maybe Ventress was the, didn't give him her agenda, but that's usually how they pick mates, you know? Let me grab three or four of you and fight it out and see which one of you is worthy of mating with me. But, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I really like the, in the throne room, the fight with the Jedi and Savage and all the floating platforms. Like, it did feel a little over the top, but it gave it, like, that little extra oomph. And it's just brutal when Savage just, like, slams his lightsaber down and just crashes his platform down on, like, Obi-Wan and Anakin. That was a really cool moment. And, actually, that's all I had. Hey, Act 3! Because I mentioned Ahsoka in Act 1, and I already talked about the two really smart guards. So, yeah. Act 3.
Wow. Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's do it. Savage makes it back to Dooku's flagship, hovering out in space. He's all like, look, I got you a king. And Dooku's like, he's dead, you idiot. And Savage is like, well, we can put little strings on him and make like a puppet and make him dance around. And it's fine. It'll be fine. And Dooku doesn't like puppet shows. And he's pissed. And Dooku gives him a face full of force lightning. And then the door opens. And freaking Ventress is on the other side like Beyonce, goddess of evil. And Dooku is like, Savage, kill her for me. And Ventress is like, oh, that's cute. Yo, my knight brother, let's fuck up this big old bitch. And Savage is like, hey, Dooku, bet you regret shooting me full of force lightning the entire episode. And they double team Dooku. Of course, we have to go back to the Jedi before this fight. And they're all like, oh, a separate ship. Why aren't we surprised? And they rush in, and they meet some battle droids! Who it's really great to see again, because we haven't had battle droids in forever!
I haven't seen them get killed in a long time.
I was so happy! But sadly, the Jedi make really quick work of these droids, and they don't get to drop any jokes. So back to the important fight scene! Dooku is holding out his own against Savage and Ventress. He keeps shooting up Savage with more force lightning, and keeping Ventress at bay with his sweet lightsaber skills. You should see me, I'm making like karate chop motions right now. After a few minutes, Savage starts showing his lack of skills. I mean, getting hit with force lightning like 15 times in 22 minutes in an episode is gonna do that to you. And Savage is like, Ventress, he's really strong, maybe we should reconsider this plan. And Ventress wants none of that noise, calling Savage weak and useless and terrible. And that was a bad move, Ventress, because Savage gets pissed and force chokes both Dooku and Ventress, throwing them up against the wall. And he goes into a rage, attacking both Ventress and Dooku. Dooku jumps into his escape shaft and Ventress follows, but Savage isn't quick enough before the door behind him opens, which is when the Jedi wander in and they find him. And Savage promptly force throws both of the Jedi out the door. Down in the tunnels, two fights are raging. It's Ventress versus Dooku and the Jedi versus Savage, which I actually wish we got to see more of because we barely got to see it. There's also one poor little battle droid caught in the crossfire, poor guy. And Dooku gets Ventress disarmed and he's ready to kill her, but she force directs his blade away from her and into a steam vent. With Dooku blinded in the heat, Ventress flees into an escape pod to fight another day. In the docks of the flagship, a platoon of battle droids is ready and waiting for Savage and the Jedi. The battle droids aim for Savage, but he force blasts away everyone. He escapes in his own ship and flees. And we get one good battle droid joke, and it's time for the Jedi to get out of there as well. Savage returns home to his mommy, and he finds Talzin. He's all like, Mommy! Ventress was mean to me! The Jedi are picking on me! I need to be more evil! Help me be more evil, Mommy! And then Talzin drops a big old bombshell on him. Savage has a brother that's not dead like he originally thought. And you know who they reveal? Darth Maul! And she gives him a magical destiny necklace to track him down for a later season. The end.
And here's where time changes things, because at first I was like, ugh, Darth Maul, come on, how are you going to do that? So
I'm the same way!
Now that I know, though, it's like, oh, cool, Darth Maul. But, like, you know, when you were reading that, have you ever seen Grease?
Yeah, yeah.
Every time I hear Force Lightning, yeah, I think, like, why, that power's automatic. Systematic. Hydromatic. Why, it's Force Lightning.
Go, 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 shoot him up with some Force Lightning. And keep shooting. Oh, keep shooting.
I think there's another As You Wish. I think As You Wish should be a official Clone Wars drinking game by now.
Oh my
Whenever
God,
someone says As You Wish, it's time to dunk.
They're just Princess Bride fans. Come on, Chris. All the Sith watch it.
And man, Dooku is not stingy with that Force Lightning. He is not stingy with it. He does not like wait till the end to pull that out. He's just like, everybody have some of this.
I mean, God, like, how he did it, like, in the training with Savage, again in the training with Savage, in this fight. Like, he is just, like, he's gonna, like, go home and be, like, trying to make a spark to light a candle, and he's gonna be like, oh, I'm out of juice.
Yeah, you would think thought he would have used it more in episode 3 when he was fighting those guys. I think he used it a little bit, but... the shot of Ventress escaping in either her ship or the escape pod where she's just sort of, like, laying on the ground, like, oh, shit, that was close. That was a really odd shot for Clone Wars where they jiggled the camera like a handheld shot. And it was literally maybe a second and a half, but it was a handheld shot. You know, they moved the camera and jiggled it, and it was very effective at making it seem like adding a little bit to her, like, panic and, you know, just like, just got out of there. It was just a really neat little cinematic sort of touch to the whole thing. But you don't... It's the first time I've seen anything that looks like a handheld shot in all of... I mean, obviously, there's no such thing as a real handheld shot in Clone Wars because it's all made on a computer. But you can still move it like the cameras move it. You can still jiggle the camera around like it's a person... And this one wasn't like a person moving it as much as the camera jiggling on its tripod because the ship was moving.
Yeah.
And it was just it was really neat. And I just thought it was neat that somebody thought of that and said, hey, let's, they had to do that on purpose.
And I like that scene too, just because we get to see something out of interest we usually don't get to see, where she's just kind of despondent and like not responsive.
Yeah.
Which is something that's kind of new for her because she's always so emotional.
Everything is just failing her, you know. Even when she fell back on the Night Sisters, that failed her. But that's what you get for revenge. Don't work out like that. And, okay, so when he sees Darth Maul, his brother, is he his brother, or would he technically be his half-brother?
Yay!
Took you a couple seconds, but I knew you'd get there.
I was thinking, like, well, what if they have different dads? Oh!
No, just different halves.
Oh, man.
That's all my notes. I just went out on a gag, that's all.
That's fun. Battle droids. I can't remember the last time they were in, but it's been so long, and like I really loved seeing the battle droids again.
That's another great thing about Clone Wars. It makes us glad to see battle droids.
I know. It's been when we saw them at first, when like Obi-Wan and Anakin arrived, they're like, hey, and they got cut down. I was like, oh no. But then we got them all at the end, and they're like, hey, you're not supposed to be here. And I was like, yay. I like all the different kinds of lightsaber fights that we got in this episode. Because, like, the end melee is very different from the training scene at the beginning. So it's really cool just that we got to see different kinds of lightsaber fights. We don't always get that in episodes. Usually it's, like, one big fight, but we got to see, like, different ones. All right, here's where the multi-episode arc falls a bit flat for me. Because now we're starting to get into this from pretty much from here to the end of the show. It's multi-episode arcs, except for the occasional one-shot. I'm bringing it up now because this is the first time it's ever happened in the course of the show. I probably won't bring it up again because it's going to be a similar note for the rest of the series. This episode really can't stand too much on its own without the previous episodes.
Yes,
Because if random Joe Schmo just wanted to give Clone Wars a try, and they're like, hey, I see this Clone Wars show is on, and I like Star Wars, and they try to pick a random episode to watch, I can see where they would be really lost. They wouldn't know who Savage Press is. They actually probably wouldn't know who Ventress is, to be honest. How and why he's serving Ventress and all that. But still, there's a good thing about this episode where they have a lot of core Star Wars characters in it. They have Yoda, Windu, Obi-Wan, and Anakin, and Dooku. So it does help anchor that episode for new people.
We were talking about this two episodes ago, too, and I was thinking about it the other day. And, you know, and I think this show is just on the cusp of that, where, that time period where we're at now, where people watch... You don't have to worry about that as much. Like, oh, what if somebody comes in the middle? As a matter of fact, I think people are hesitant to just be like, I'll watch a random episode of this, because that's not how they do it anymore. It's like Netflix will drop a whole season, and people will sit down and wait for... If it's something that comes on week by week by TV, there's a lot of people who are just like, I'm going to sit and wait till this is all on Netflix or the DVD comes out, and I'm going to just watch it all the way through. So I think our habits are changing, and this was sort of in a transition period. So nowadays, I don't think you have to worry about too much, like, you know, what if this is somebody's introductory episode? Because even if people were like, I don't know what's going on, all that would mean to them was, I got to go back to the beginning, you know, if I want to start watching this.
And then... another grab I have for the episode is one that I have a lot about a lot of Clone Wars episodes, and I brought it up before. But I wish there was a way that this Clone Wars came out before Episode 3. And because we know that Ventress isn't going to kill Dooku, and she's going to fail at it. The only stakes that are really in this episode is whether she and Savage will make it out at the end. And it just makes certain episodes weaker, because we always know that the outcome for certain characters are going to be okay, and we know that Dooku won't die. So I always fall back on this, that it kind of takes out a lot of the oomph of the episode, because I know they're not going to kill Dooku, but the stakes are, will Ventress get out?
Right,
so, like,
right.
It goes back and forth, but, like, same thing has happened. Like, they're, like the episode R2 Come Home, where Anakin and Obi, and I think Mace Windu, were trapped under a ship, and they were, like, R2 had to save them from assassins. We knew that Anakin and Mace were going to make it out okay, so... I just always wish there was a way that we could have had these before Episode 3, because then you would be watching this fight on the edge of your seat, like, oh my god, are they going to kill Dooku? What?
Yeah.
I guess if you watch everything in chronological order, though, like, start with Episode 1 and then 2, because some people do that. They'll do Episode 1.
It would have made Grievous's character so much more fun in Episode 3. It would have been just like, there he is. Well, at least I'm talking for myself anyway. I would have been like, there he is in the flesh.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to address the big bombshell in the room. I remember when I first watched this episode, we see a Red Knight brother in Mother Talzin's crystal ball. And sure, we have seen, actually in last week's episode, we saw other Red Knight brothers, or Zabarks, whatever they're called, so far. And even though Red is usually like Maul, we have seen other Knight brothers be Red. So I remember the first time I saw this episode, I did not think it was Darth Maul. I still figured that he was dead, and this was just a completely new guy. And that's why I was so surprised when Maul actually showed up in later seasons, because they don't actually name him as Maul in this. They just say, your brother. They don't actually name Maul. And so, like, the first time you saw this episode, did you think it was Maul?
Yeah, I did, and I was like, ugh, because he'd been cut in half. But it was too clear, you know, if... I think I probably figured if it was someone different, they would have given him a little... I mean, it looked like Darth Maul, so I was like, it would be a real cheap trick, which Clone Wars has not, up to this point, had not used any, you know, cheap or cheesy tricks to trick you into watching the next episode or, you know, any of that stuff. They usually, like, deliver on something that they say or... are a little more satisfied, or, you know, they usually wouldn't pull, like, is that Darth Maul? And then the next episode you find out, no, it's actually Darth Paul, you know.
Darth Paul! The other Maul.
Right, exactly.
The other brother, Darth Paul.
And so I figured it was Darth Maul, and you could almost feel through this whole arc, that whole, like, George Lucas, like, wanting to bring Darth Maul back and, you know, and that being a possibility. So it was like, okay, here's where they're like, okay, we're going to make this happen. And at that point, I was very, you know, hesitant to think that that was going to be anything cool. I was just like, this is going to be super cheesy. So.
See? That was my next note was, okay, we had an episode featurette like two episodes ago with Dave Filoni. It was all like, well, we can't bring back Darth Maul because he's dead. And that's just Dave being sneaky, sneaky and playing games because he already knew Maul was going to come back. And he already planned to do it when right. He did that episode featurette. That was simply just being sneaky and throwing red herrings. But I mean, up to season 3 of Rebels, I was like never a Maul fan. So like now I'm just like, yeah, Darth Maul. It took season 3 of Rebels for me to be like, man, I really like this character, because I feel like we finally got, because even in Clone Wars, he was kind of crazy and just kind of, like, mad and just a tyrant, but I feel like Rebels was the first time we got to see Maul as a person. Does right. That make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, see what makes him tick, and, like, kind of, they made him really sympathetic, because he was just pitiful, and that's what I liked about him. And just... So, like now I'm excited for Maul, but I did, when I first saw this episode, I actually didn't think it was Maul. So, when Maul actually did come back, I was just like, oh, hey, he has spider legs. And then I was, every time he was on screen, I was just like, spider. Oh, it's Maul. Up till, because it was up until season 3 of Rebels, like, I didn't like that Maul was backed, but I liked the stories that they did with Maul. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because, especially with Obi-Wan, like, he was always, like, a thorn in Obi-Wan's side, and, like, I liked him on Mandalore and, like, with Satine and stuff. So I liked the stories they did with Maul. I just didn't like Maul himself until, but now I'm, like, on this rewatch for us, now that we've seen the beginning, middle, and end of Maul's story, I'm so excited to revisit it, because it's just going to be so good seeing it through Rebel Eyes.
That's the name of somebody's podcast right there, Through Rebel Eyes.
Through Rebel Eyes. And I guess the only other note I have is I just wanted to share a post. I was looking for reviews of what people thought of Maul's return, just because I wasn't really in the fandom when this was coming out when I was in college, so I didn't really know how the fans reacted. But what I ended up finding was a really good discussion about Mother Talzin, and it was from the Force.net's writer Eric. And so I just wanted to share this really good excerpt from it because it describes Talzin in a way. And it's worded so much better than I would ever word it, so I just wanted to read it off, if that's okay.
Okay.
All right. So, while Obi-Wan and Anakin did not play a major role in the events unfolding in Witches of the Mist, the supremely creepy Mother Talzin most certainly did. It's clear to me now, more than ever, that this is all part of a long-term plan. To accomplish what? I can't say for sure. But if she turned out to be, power hungry, it would be a really nice nod to the expanded universe's description of the Night Sisters cult. Talzin was constantly scheming throughout this episode, and when the two Jedi arrived at her doorstep, it was almost as if she had been expecting them. The one thing I didn't get was why she tried to lie to the Jedi about the extent of her manipulations of the planet's Sabaarc males. Also, I thought the whole scene where she revealed Savage's existence felt rushed. They had to cram a lot into this episode, but the suddenness of Talzin's crystal ball routine was jarring. Other than that, Mother Talzin remained a smart antagonist whose aims remained shrouded in mystery. While she told Savage that he had an important destiny to fulfill, I think it's much more likely that this is another one of Mother Talzin's ploys. In fact, Savage's failure to carry out Asajj's orders was probably itself part of Talzin's long-term scheming. In the aftermath of his failure, she felt his anger just enough to persuade him, interestingly without the creepy forehead-tapping mind control, to begin a new quest. By playing on Savage's sense of meaninglessness and referring abstractly to his destiny, she displayed a level of deviousness and manipulative cruelty worthy of a Sith Lord.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
I know, I was just like, wow, I couldn't write that eloquently about Talzin. I was just like, I would have been like, she is evil. No, but I thought that was a really well, like, summed up who she was, so.
I agree that her, the crystal ball routine was kind of rushed, which made it seem like she was full of shit when she was doing it. You know, it's just like, oh, she just gave that up for, you know, because they asked. It was, she was being, she was giving them a lot of static, but then when they're like, hey, what's going on? She's like, oh, here's the information for you, you know? But then again, yeah. She might have been doing it as just like, here's the information, get the hell out of here, you know? It's just a way of getting rid of them. So you got yeah. only got 22 minutes, so...
Plus, like, the moment they left, she was like, hey, Ventress, come here.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Do this. Well, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else for the episode, Chris?
No. I'm ready to score this up.
All right. So what did you think of the episode?
I liked it. Actually, I don't think it was as well written as the last episode, but I enjoyed it more because I liked the, you know, we had Anakin and Obi-Wan, and we had droids, and we had this just sort of... there was just a lot of stuff happening in this, and it was a nice break from the politics where it was all, like I said earlier, people were running from one place to another, running and jumping into a ship, flying to another place, jumping out of the ship and running, fighting. So it was very action-packed, but at the same time, it was still filled with character and story, although those weren't the main focus of it. So I actually, this one took a little upswing from last week, and I'm giving this one an 8.5.
Really? I scored down.
I can totally see that, and I could have seen myself going that way too. But at the end of this episode, I was like, I really enjoyed that episode. It was, there's definite faults to it, but it was pushing my buttons in the right way, and I really enjoyed it.
For me, this is the weakest of the three Ventress episode arcs. Night Sisters, to me, is still the best one.
Yes.
But that being said, this is still a really good episode. I mean, I like the different kind of lightsaber battles, and it's really strong from, like, Dooku training Savage to the massive melee at the end. Sadly, my highlight of all this was the return of the battle droids, which is really weird to say for me, because I usually don't like droids, but I was just, like, so happy the battle droids were back. I was like, yeah! Yay!
They're back, and they're stupid.
I love them.
Yeah.
Because most of the players main players didn't really do much. Really, only Savage had a character arc in this, and that's not even that much. It was all action from beginning to end, and rest in peace, King Ramen. We won't be able to make any more ramen soup jokes. But still, it was a really good episode. So last week I had like a 7.75, so I gave this one slightly lower, and it was a 7.25, because out of the three episodes, Night Sisters was the best, and then that last week, and then this week, so...
This is the first episode in a long time that you and I haven't been desperately switching our score up and down at the very end.
I know.
Our scores stood through this episode. That's pretty good.
Go
I
us.
Guess.
Yeah. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback at iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes because that helps people find the show. And this week's feedback comes from our episode, The Pursuit of Peace. Do you want to take it away, Chris?
Yes, and this one comes from across the pond, from David Walker,
and then we'll be coming back across.
Who Two Freaks.
And then we'll be coming back across the pond to talk to Brian Wither.
And yes, but so he says, Japanese has three different alphabets: the kanji, which are the Chinese characters they use; hiragana, which basically represents the syllables in Japanese words; and the katakana, which do the same thing as the hiragana, but for non-Japanese words. There's probably a better or more accurate way to put all that through. So the Japanese may kind of look Chinese on the Kit Kats, is the point. Ah, I wondered what he was talking about. Okay, yeah, that's right, because...
we were talking about how we wasn't sure if it was a Chinese or a Japanese Kit Kat.
Mm-hmm. I just go by whatever the website printed on the wrapper is, if there is one. And I think there is, but I've thrown that wrapper away.
Yeah.
And then the next one's from Brian Weber, and this is a non-Kit Kat related...
And Brian actually was the one that left. This was my old high school friend that I told you, like, met at Dragon Con and stuff like that. But he was the one that left us our last iTunes review that was, like, Obi Quiet and stuff, the really nice iTunes review.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this is him.
Okay, that explains the y'all in here.
Yeah.
I love how y'all start off by complaining about the boring politics and the interest rates at the start of the episode, then proceed to have some of the most epic conversation about politics and interest rates. Yeah, that's what we're here for.
That's what we do.
It's the double-edged sword of having vague ideas in Star Wars. Yes, that's true. On the one hand, we miss out on some potentially amazing action-packed visual sequences. On the other, we get to make up our own stories about how these spoken topics that suit our own taste perfectly, i.e. the thousand stories about the bounty hunter on Ord Mantell mentioned in Empire. Just goes to show how creative fan minds can improve just about anything or everything in Star Wars. Awesome. Yeah, that's what you gotta do with those political... If we're gonna do an episode that's what, like, four times longer than the actual episode?
Yeah.
We're kind of forced to to try to make that stuff entertaining. I'm glad we're succeeding. Oh, and you know, we didn't get a chance to, because I forgot to mention it, to synchronize our candies.
I know. I already opened mine.
What are you eating?
I'm eating. What are you getting? I'm eating the Gaelian chocolate from
Yes! Vega. Oh, good. That's the one I wanted to eat. That's what I got in my hand, too.
I think we mentioned last week we were going to do this. So
okay, good. Okay, so now, I'm opening mine, too.
It's cool because there's like a little... It looks like it's milk chocolate with a little bit of white chocolate on top. There's like a crunchy, like, almost like... It's not nougat, but there's like a middle section in each of these little slabs, and I'm trying to figure out what it is.
I'm looking at my... I like... It's like a... Is that a... It's like seafood, there's a shell and a little prawn on the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No.
Oh, there's a seahorse on one! Oh!
That's what it is. It's a seahorse, not a prawn. I was thinking it was a prawn. But yeah, there's a... Alright, these are not what I expected them to taste like. They're really good.
There's something kind of crunchy in the middle, and I'm trying to figure out. It's almost like a very, very fine crunch.
It's almost like a very light toffee. Inside, they're like chocolate with white chocolate shells and seahorses, and then the inside is sort of a white nougaty stuff that reminds me of toffee flavor. They're good.
They're so good.
The biscuits on the cover of them, and I just recorded an Eat It and Beat It that won't come up out for many, many months from now, but the biscuits on these. They look like those Zweibeck, I think was the name of them. They're baby biscuits.
Mm-hmm.
So I pictured this had like a bottom layer of baby biscuits and that it was going to taste like baby biscuits.
Yeah, I thought there would be some kind of like cracker middle.
Cracker.
But there's not.
Cracker texture. It looks like it from the cover, the wrapper of it. These are good.
I'm also having another green tea Kit Kat because Dario sent me so many.
I'm going to eat actually half of this Gaelian and then eat the other half for dessert later.
Mm.
This is really good. Really rich.
Mm. Wow.
And we forgot to explain this week. Our friend Dario sends us candy from around the world because I was crying like a little baby about how American Kit Kats taste like poo-poo and they smell like poo-poo. Poo, 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 poo.
You're crying like a little Savage Press back to his mommy?
That's right. My Kit Kats taste like poo, poo.
That's okay, honey. Here's some dark side magic.
Yeah, and then we just started getting boxes of dark chocolate.
And then Chris goes and attacks the Kit Kat factory in America. With his dark force powers on steroids.
That would be sad if, like, That's what I ended up going down in history for, is like going crazy and attacking the Kit Kat factory. Like the Willy Wonka killer or something like that. Just some totally useless and pointless waste of life that people would just be like, of all the things he could have bombed, it had to be the Kit Kat factory. I mean, Kit Kats do suck, but come on.
I just imagined you, there's a little bit in Family Guy where they had, like, President Reagan, and he was just like, Reagan, smash! But all he was doing was, like, kicking a wall until he got tired and he laid down and just went to sleep on the ground. That's kind of what I imagine you doing, just, like, kicking, like, Kit Kat sucks, until you tire out and you just lay down on the ground and sleep.
They handcuffed me and dragged me away, put me in the happy home.
Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. Just a plethora of podcasts. By the time this episode comes out, the new Eat It and Beat It should be out, which I will not tell what's in it because you gotta figure it out from the cover art to figure out the combination of eating and beating that goes on in it.
I think it was out like the other day. I'm gonna check it out right now.
I'll talk to you after this podcast, Hope, but I was talking to somebody about our shows last night who'd never heard of our podcast network, and while I was talking to them, they went to TwoTrueFreaks.com and just started, like, listening to random podcasts and critiquing them to me. And I have to say, everybody out there in Two True Freak Land who make podcasts, he was very impressed with you guys. He's like, boy, you know, these guys have a lot of good voices on here. And he's like, this is interesting. It's not dry. This is like personal experience. This is very interesting. Blah, 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 blah. And I don't think he's from the nerd world, other than he's a really techie guy. But he was very happy with the quality of our podcast. So that made me feel really happy.
Aww,
happy, happy.
Good.
So that's good, you guys. You Two True Freak podcasters, you're doing a good job in impressing strangers. So keep it up. So yeah, go to twotruefreaks.com. We got a Facebook page too, where if you go to the Two True Freaks Facebook page, you'll see everybody posts their podcasts up there, and you can find a bunch of our other podcasts have their own Facebook pages. We got the Two True Freaks Cantina, where you can join up and just do general nerd gossip and blab in there. You can even find Two True Freaks on Twitter. We're Gene, the podcasting machine.
Gene.
We're getting good at that. We're timing that up real good. yeah, we're all over the place. But what about you, Hope? You're all over the place too.
Yeah. I run our JS and Jedi Twitter page. It's at JS. That are the title of our show that I apparently can't say anymore. Actually, I just made business cards for 221 VCon, and they have both Jedi and Jedi and What the Fangirl on them.
Ooh.
I'm so excited. I know I have new business cards. It's always exciting. But on Twitter, we're at Jedi and Jedi. You can also find me at Hope Molinax. And I'm also the news writer for whatthefangirl.com, so you can come check me out. I'm kind of taking this week off because I'm leaving tomorrow to go to a convention, and I had a lot of stuff to do this week and a weird work schedule. So after 221 VCon, I'll be writing some posts about the con and stuff like that. So check us out at whatthefangirl.com. Yeah, tell your friends. Well, that's all I have for today. Do you have anything else?
No. Come back next week where I think things are going off the rails for me. I think I've reached the point in Clone Wars where it's unseen territory for me.
Oh, wait. That can't be right, because I feel like we've talked about later seasons.
We've talked about them, but
you don't remember them.
Well, I've heard what happened in them in the past and stuff, but I haven't watched them. So I know some of the things that happen over the course of time of Clone Wars, but I just never have seen them. I think I'll know when I'll know watching the next episode if it's new to me or if it's something I've seen before. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm
but
so excited!
I think we're there. I think we're there.
I'm so excited because next week it's like Lord of the Rings! Dun 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 dun! Fuck yeah, it's Lord of the Rings! I'm so excited. Yay!
Alright, Bilbo Skywalker, here we come.
What did you just say?
Bilbo Skywalker.
Oh, that's what I thought you said, and I was clapping so I didn't hear you. Well, I guess until next time, get ready for Hold On to Your Precious. Well, I don't know. I got
Frodo Tarkin.
Tarkin would be like Starman. Yoda would totally chill on some Ents. He'd be like hanging out with some Ents.
Yeah, Yoda and the Ents would definitely get along.
They'd be like BFFs. Yoda
and Tom Bombadil. Yoda and, what the hell is the guy's name from The Hobbit? My favorite from The Hobbit.
Bilbo? Frodo?
No,
Mary?
Sam? The guy with the sled with the rabbits.
The guy?
The other wizard. The.
Oh, Radagast.
Radagast. Why did I forget that? He's my favorite. Radagast and Yoda would get along really good. Radagast would have Yoda, like, tied up to his sled, like, run, like, pulling him. Yeah!
Though, I just realized, though, Tarkin can't be Saruman because Dooku has to be Saruman.
That's right.
Dooku has to be Saruman. So, I'm excited! I can't wait! I can't wait to see if you... I'm actually really excited for you to get into territory you haven't seen before. Yes!
Me too.
Yes! So, I guess, until next time...
New territory!
Let's ride!
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of...
Two True Freaks.
Yes, that rings a... Wait a minute. I got it in the tip of my tongue.
Come on.
Oh, golly, I'm nervous. Let me see. Oh! Alexander Dumbass! Oh, Henry Dumbass!